If you will, turn in your Old Testaments to the book of Proverbs. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. We'll be looking at the first chapter this morning. Appreciate the invitation to speak here this morning. Appreciate the elders allowing me to do this. And I think what you'll find is you'll learn to appreciate Stan even more. It's good to have been led in a Bible study. Been led in prayer, been led in song, and our thoughts concerning the Lord's Supper. And we've already been blessed having been here already. And if it's not your custom to come to the Bible study, you're missing a real feast. Whatever age you might be, the younger classes or the older classes, and you can put yourself in whatever category you belong there. But it's always good to come and study the Word of God together. Now in our study this morning, I want to entertain you in a spiritual way in Proverbs chapter 1. We know who the writer is because chapter 1 tells us who it is. Also chapter 10 and verse 1 and chapter 25 and verse 1 of the book of Proverbs tells us that it's Solomon. I read some commentators and they weren't sure who wrote it. Like our scientists today are not sure where we came from. Well, I understand what Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created, don't you? I've told several people I'd be willing to take half the money they're spending trying to find out where we're coming from or where we came from. I'd take half of that money and save them the rest of it by just reading Genesis 1 and verse 1. But they don't believe that either, do they? But in Proverbs chapter 1, we have a very interesting lesson, and this is for parents, for children, for grandparents. And so all of us are involved in this lesson this morning. And I hope by studying this first chapter, or a few things in it at least, that it will be a book that you don't want to put down. You ever started a book like that? I remember reading years ago, Where the Red Fern Grows. Wonderful story. It's for children, but I loved it. And cried at the end of it like a little baby. But it was a book that I just didn't want to put down. I was too tired or had to go, but I had to keep on reading. And I hope by studying this first chapter that you'll say, wow, if there's that much treasure in one chapter, let's see what's in chapter two. And so we discovered already the author of it, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Now, does that conjure up a lot of memories in your mind? Well, I could just call on any of you from young to old and you could stand up and tell me about David, couldn't you? You could tell me about his brothers who thought he shouldn't be at the battle where Goliath was, and yet he's the one who killed the Philistine champion. We know a lot about these two men, David and Solomon, both of them kings of Israel. And in verses 2 through 4, we find the purpose of the book, as he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. All of that, verses 2, 3, and 4, the purpose of this book. And I need to recognize that I don't know it all. As one young fellow said, I used to think I knew, but now I must confess, the more I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, the less. And isn't that the truth about the Word of God? The more you know, the more you know there is to know. And then, as Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, we ought to be hungering after that knowledge. And we do that, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Stan mentioned in our Bible study already, to study to show thyself approved unto man. Is that what it says? No, if that's the reason I study, I'm studying for the wrong purpose. But to be approved unto God, that's why I need to study. And to get all of this wisdom and instruction. And James says, if you don't have wisdom, what are you to do? Pray for it. You ever pray for wisdom? God, give me wisdom. Add that to your prayers. And know that you don't know it all and that you never will know. I remember when I first started preaching, people said, how are you going to get enough lessons every Sunday? Stan, are you ever going to run out? we're just scratching the surface, it seems. And so as we get this wisdom and instruction to perceive the words of understanding, me, so I can understand. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety to the naive, that is, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And I wish that in my youth that there had been somebody to stand before me and my teenage class and to teach us this wonderful book of Proverbs. We need to do that. We need to have teenagers, young people, studying this book of Proverbs because that's its purpose. It detours us away from that which is wicked. It draws us closer to that which is good. It keeps us away from that which could destroy our souls and harm our precious lives. And we wouldn't have to look back, as the song says, "Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now." You can't. You can't do that. So the reason that you are to sit and you are to listen, and the idea of hearing in this book is the idea of not, "Yeah, I hear you. You can hear my voice," but understanding what Solomon is trying to get across to you. So that, as he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Don't look back on a misspent youth. Don't look back and say, "Oh, if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have made that choice, or I hadn't have made that decision." A few years ago, George Jones came out with a song, "I'm living with the choices I've made." And you're going to do that too. You're going to live with the choices, with the decisions that you make. Not only in your marriage partner, but in every other situation. You're going to live with the decisions and the choices that you make. So Solomon says, here is how you get the wisdom. Sometimes to say no. In our youth, the expression was, remember, just say no. Just say no. And there's a lot of people who are wishing they had said no to the temptations that the devil threw out. But they didn't. But he says you can get this wisdom, this understanding. As verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise proverbs, or unto wise counsels. You need to sit and listen. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. And a wise person will get around good people and will listen to what they have to say. Be a good listener and then ponder. Ponder what you hear. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Have something in between to latch on to it, okay? To get this wisdom and think, you know, that can be helpful to me. In my future days, this can be helpful to me. To understand a proverb, verse 6, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, things that other people are saying, "What? What did he say? What's he talking about?" You're going to be able to understand. Well, somebody says, "Well, I'm too poor to pay attention." Well, that may be have a little comedy about it. But we ought to be serious when somebody is trying to help us and teach us and to be the best listener you can be. And sometimes in services, it may mean a change in your pew. A couple came up to me and said, "Brother Haefeli, where we sit, there's always distraction. There's always somebody." I said, "We'll move, and preferably up." And so, cure the problem. Solve that problem, and it's so easy to get. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't need no school. They can't learn me nothing. They're going to be ignorant. I-G-N-E-R-T, aren't they? No, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Drop down to chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive or accept or give attention to my words and hide my commandments with thee. Remember what David said in Psalm 119, verse 11? Thy word have I put into my heart. Here's the Bible heart. That I might not sin against thee. Young people, you're going to school. Your teachers give you pages to read, numbers and facts and so on to memorize. You know what you've done? You put it into your heart. David said, thy word have I put into my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you took your driver's test, did you study the book? That's one book I really studied. You know why? Because I wanted to drive. There's some things that I really didn't study for. I wish I had. But that's one thing I wanted, and so I was diligent about it and passed it on the first try. Yeehaw. Well, God is giving us a test, and he's given us the book to read. And so he says, the fear of the Lord, back to 1 verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, if thou wilt receive, accept my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. If you go out into a pasture and there's a horse there, and you do that, what's he going to do? Well, first of all, he's already going to see you coming. But he's going to prick up his ears. A deer does that, a cow does that. And we need to do that, God says. Listen. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart, what you put the wisdom in, to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Back in 1849, everybody went where? California, the 49ers. They gave up everything, went across this country, walking, horseback, wagon, however they could get there. They were searching for the literal gold and for the literal gold in California. But God says, my word is as a hidden treasure. Then verse 5, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You've got to want it. Are there some classes that you're taking in school and you're saying, what earthly good is this going to do me? Huh? You're not really digging and scratching and clawing after that knowledge. You're getting enough to get by. I've been there, done that. Sorrowfully. But he says, the fear of the Lord, chapter 1, 7, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom instruction. As we said, they don't want any part of it. And now, as we said, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, a lot of us are in that category. As I picture a father sitting down with his son, and he ought to. Even as Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, fathers, you're to do the teaching. It's not all left up to mama. He says, my son, verse 8, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Both of you are to do the teaching, working hand in hand, knowing what the other is teaching and that it is the same thing. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Anybody in here like to look like a slob? A few years ago with the grunge look, that was where everybody was going, wasn't it? And I told Judy, I said, all I need is a couple of red noses just stick on their faces and they look like Emmett Kelly the clown. That's where we were heading. But here he says, this wisdom from your mother and father, they're going to be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. They're going to make you look good. You listen to what your mother and father say, even in those years where you think they don't know anything. You listen, you do what God says, and you'll come out the better. You'll come out smelling like a rose. Verse 10, and if you want to memorize something, memorize this one. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And you know what? I could have told my children, okay, sinners are going to entice you, and when they do, don't do what they want you to do. Boy, we had our talk. Glad that's over. Is that all I need to say? People are going to get you to try to do wrong, but don't do it. Okay, oh good, okay. Is that all I need to say? That's not where Solomon stops. He gives the warning, my son, if sinners draw you... anybody go fishing? What do you put? You just hang a hook down in the water? Well, you put something in on that hook that looks good to the fish, don't you? It's called bait. And he says, if they entice you with the bait, say no. If they say, come with us, and I've underlined the word us and put gang. You know what misery loves? What does misery love? They love company. And here's the gang down here, and here you are up here. Where do they want you? They want you to come down here. But they want you to feel like they're up here, and you're down here because you're not one of them. And so when they say, come with us, you come up with us. No, it's the other way around. You're up here, they're down here, and they want you to come down where they are. Do you understand that? Misery does love company. So when they entice you, they hang the bait out there. When they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily or innocently or slyly for the innocent without cause. They've not done anything. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. That means it's going to be done suddenly and nobody's going to see us. When I first started preaching in Indiana, we had two brothers. One was 12, I think the other one was 14. They had a friend that said, my neighbor's not going to be home. They're going to be gone for 2 weeks. So tonight, let's go into their house and let's see what we can get. Nobody will catch us. It'll be dark. But there were five of them altogether, I believe it was, that went into that house, and somebody saw them. This was before 911, but they called the police. 9/11. They called the police, and all of a sudden, the house was surrounded. Would you want to have traded places with those boys? When the cops come in with their guns drawn, 12 and 14 years old, and then all of a sudden you're handcuffed and in the back of a squad car. And then on that next Saturday, you know what you get to do? You get to be lined up, all five of you, chained together. Your hands are chained to your waist with a belt around that, with chains to your feet, chained on your legs, and you're walking, all five of you, from the jailhouse to the courthouse on Saturday morning. Want to trade places? My son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. What if one of those brothers that has said, no, you go right ahead if you want to. He wouldn't have gotten to enjoy the chains, the cells, and when the gavel of the judge came down and he sentenced those boys to 5 years in the boys' prison. You should have heard those parents screaming out in the name of Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. They're boys, 14, 12, 13 years old, going to jail for 5 years. My son, if sinners entice thee, say no. You're up here, they're down here. You want to join them? No, you don't. I see your head shaking. No, you don't want to join them. You will get caught. but they will entice you. Verse 13. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. You won't have to be saying, do you want fries with that? You know that car, that Lamborghini you're hoping to drive? That Corvette? Man, well, as soon as you get your license, you got the cash. You follow us, you'll have the cash. He didn't say fill your billfold with spoil. Fill your house. Wow. You mean I won't have to work and pay taxes on it? I can have the fancy schmancy clothes and the car and the girls and all this that goes along with that. I can have that. See, where they there's the bait. See it dangling out there? And isn't that tempting? What are you going to do when there's nobody else around to say, well, what are we going to do? You're going to have to make up your mind yourself. We're going to have all kinds of riches. Cast in, verse 14, thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And you know how good criminals are. They're such good guys. Honest, sweet, devout. I don't think so. No, you can't trust them. They'll steal from somebody else. They'll steal from you. But they said, as part of the lure, as part of the enticement, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And you know what comes to my mind? Joshua chapter 7 and Achan. Did he get caught? When he stole the spoil, the silver and the gold and the clothing from Jericho after it had been taken, did he get caught? Yes, he did. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took, and then I hid. And isn't that something to do? We're filthy rich. I remember watching old gangster movies, and you know, they had to go hide out. They'd have a box full of money, but they'd have to go hide out. Hey, we're rich! And every time somebody knocked on the door, hey, we're rich! I don't think that's being rich, is it? No. But Solomon says, my son, here's how they're going to entice you. It looks good. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't go with them. Don't. Surely in vain, verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. How many times have you seen it and read it? Somebody says, well, we didn't mean to kill the guy. We didn't think he was home, and he surprised us. And Johnny there hit him with the first thing he had in his hand, and he didn't. He just meant to knock him out. He didn't mean to kill him. He's still dead. You're still going to jail. Have you been to a prison recently? You know, the old cowboy movies, you could get your arm and your leg and your head through the bars, you know, not that far apart. Not anymore. If you're claustrophobic, I know you don't want to go. Then verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. I pondered that for a while. What in the world? We feed the birds in our backyard nearly every day. And you know what happens every time I go out? They fly away. So if I go out to set a net down to catch them, what are they going to do? They're going to fly away. What's Solomon tell his son to do? When this comes, as if a bird, you fly away. It's a trap. And how big is a bird brain? Ever been called that before? When you do something you shouldn't have done? Bird brain. That means you're not very smart. But even a bird is smart enough to get away from a trap. You do the same. Don't be hanging upside down and saying, oh, I wish I hadn't have stepped in that trap. No, it's too late then. It's too late behind bars to say, oh, what have I done? And you know all the tears, all the wishing I hadn't have, all the I'm sorry, that's not going to get you out of it. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Verse 18, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. They don't say that. They don't think that. Every criminal, you know what he said? I can get away with it. I can get away with it. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? Mm-hmm. I need one of these. Didn't Moses say, you be sure what? Your sin will find you out. You know, a lot of criminals have been caught because they thought the policemen were after them. Story after story. The policemen say, I just was driving by. He took off running and I figured, why would an innocent person do that? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, Solomon said. So they lurk privily for their own blood and their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Folks, that's what the lottery's all about, isn't it? Get rich quick. If I do that, I won't have to work. I'll have it made. I can buy the big house, the big cars, and I won't have to get up this, you know, early in the morning. And that's what that's all about. You know where the winner's money comes from? The millions of losers. Besides it being a sin. Now, the last half of this chapter, and then we'll shut up, are the consequences. It's what we've been talking about. The consequences of sin. And one lady said she was so glad that she had a God that could undo things. No, he won't. No, there's things that you have done in your life and me and mine that I wish I hadn't have done. And I wish I had an eraser or a delete button that I could just beep, gone, out of sight. Can't get it back. You know what David said about it? Psalm 51 and verse 3. My sin is what? Ever before me. Forgiven you can be, but forget it? No, there's some things we do in our lives that just cannot be undone. God won't undo what is done in your life or mine. And if you're taking notes, Psalm 38 would be a good place to go. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. That's what we're doing right now. Wisdom is speaking to you. Don't think of somebody else. She is speaking to you. She crieth in the chief place of concourse and the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying. Now what she's saying here is that wisdom is personified as a woman. And she's everywhere you are, and she's trying to get your attention. Sometimes we need somebody to grab us and say, are you listening to me? And she's everywhere you are. And she says in the city, how long, you naive, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Have you ever talked to somebody and you could tell they weren't listening to you? I had a preacher when I was a teenager. He said, I can tell when somebody's not listening. You can tell when somebody's not listening. I said, boy, I'm going to keep my eye right on you, and you won't be able to tell if I'm listening or not. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can tell. How long would you love to be ignorant and stay that way? You're not listening to me. Turn you, verse 23, at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'm willing to spill my knowledge upon you and make known what I want you to know. But, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I've been in the homes of some people whose children were so disrespectful. Even with a third party there, and their parents were talking to them, their attitude was, get out of my way. Get it over with, get her said and done, but I'm going to do what I want to do. I'll come in when I want to come in. I'll leave when I want to leave. You're not telling me where and when. And wisdom says, I have done everything I could do, but no man regarded, nobody listened to me. You didn't listen to my warnings. Look at verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. You know what foolishness does? It laughs at wisdom. You're not going to tell me what to do. All right. You just go right ahead. You and your great wisdom, you and your great wisdom and your knowledge, you don't listen to me. You've said it not all of my teaching. She says, verse 26 again, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When you're begging and pleading for the wisdom that you should have had, it won't be there. I'm not going to be there. When your fear cometh, 27, as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, and you're saying, oh, why did I do it? And you're bent and you're broken and you're bowed in sorrow, and you're apologizing to everybody that you've hurt, it's not going to go away. Wisdom says, it's not going to go away. I'm not going to swoop in like Superman and rescue you at the last moment because of your foolishness. No, you're going to pay. You know what I learned about a sharp knife a long time ago? You be careful. You're not just whacking away. Oh! I knew when I was a little boy not to play with matches, but I found a book of matches one time. And it was so much fun to strike them all. And I even learned how to put my finger on the match, you know, and slide it across the little slider there. And you know what that last match did? I slid it across, and the head of that match stayed on my finger. And it lit. And you know what that did? That left a red dot on my finger for about 20 years. I thought I had it for life. But you know, every time I saw that little red dot on the end of my finger, you know what that reminded me? You play with fire. First match, middle match, or last, you will get burned. I was about 5, 6 years old. Man, did that hurt. And because I wished I hadn't have done that, it didn't make that pain go away. Or the dot. And wisdom says, you laughed at me. You get away from me. We're fine, thank you. Look, I've got a closet full of clothes. I got a car to drive, a house to live in, job to go to, more food than I know what to do with. I don't need to go to no church. I don't need to read no Bible. Pardon the grammar. What do I need of God? One day, you will. Then 28, shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And if you're writing notes, put down Galatians 6 and verse 7. Paul said, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that, and underline the word that in Galatians 6, 7, that shall a man also reap. In a few months we'll be planting our gardens. If you have one, have room for one, maybe it's just a tomato plant. But if you plant a tomato seed, what are you going to get? Watermelon? Cucumbers? No. Never fails, does it? Plant corn? Well, look at there. No, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. It's not only true in the vegetable kingdom, it's true in the spiritual as well. And this is what wisdom says. Therefore, 31, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Because you reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. When you sow one seed of corn, you don't expect that one seed to come up again, do you? No, I want 5 or 6 ears of corn on that stalk, don't you? And for them to be about that long, yeah. And so we water, we fertilize it to make it grow, but we're going to reap what we sow, one way or the other. 4:32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You naive, you stay that way, you're going to be hurt. Remember the rich man in Luke chapter 12, beginning with about verse 16 and following? I will do this. I will tear down my barns. I. What did God say to him? One word he called him, fools. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall these things be? For he says, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I don't need God. I've got a billfold full of money. I got a bank account. I got a savings account that's just accruing interest after interest. And I've got thousands of dollars in the bank. I don't need God. You know, that's what they thought in the 30s too, in the 20s and 30s too. Remember when some of us have read about it, and some of you may have lived then, when the bottom dropped out of the stock market, you think you can't lose it in a heartbeat? Think again. Some of the sicknesses that are in this life, I've got enough, eat, drink, and be merry for years and years. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Man, are we blessed or what? Are we blessed? Yeah, I go to the refrigerator to open it and say, there's nothing to eat, honey. Go to a walk-in closet. I have a walk-in closet. My folks' closet was this big. You open the door, there it was. You were in the closet. You didn't walk in, when you opened the door, you were there. That was it. We blessed or what? I can push a little button, get cold water, turn a knob, heat the building, cool it. Same way with the car. Blessed or what? Don't have to go down to the river to take a bath. Don't have to draw my own water. You know what that means? No, it's there. And it's pure. See, are we blessed or what? God has given us the wisdom. He's given us the know-how if we just use it and don't abuse it and don't lose it. We must continue to look in this wonderful book, this wonderful mirror, and get the wisdom that's there, the treasure. Remember what he said? Seek it as though it were silver. And it's going to make you look good. you're going to make the right decisions. And when the wrong people come along and they find you and they say, come on. Now what they're saying is, come on, let's go ruin your life. Let's make a decision. Let's make a choice that's going to ruin your life. You don't see that now. But that's what it's going to do. Remember verse 10. My son, and that goes for young ladies too. My son, my daughter, when they entice you, and daughters, I told our daughter, she had a hand on the end of each of her arms, and I said, this makes into a fist. And if he doesn't understand what no means, I don't care if he is the quarterback or the star of this or that. Let him go to school. Explain that away. I'd rather him be explaining that than you having to tell us, uh-oh, mom, dad, I'm in trouble. I asked her just a few years ago, I said, honey, you remember us talking like that? She said, I sure do. I hope your children do too. Sit down as Solomon did here in Proverbs chapter 1. And don't wish you had of. Oh, if I only had of. Do it. One mother told me, she said, well, I don't know what to say. Well, just sit down and talk. Explain to them your knowledge. You have some wisdom and age. Pass it on. Remember, grandmothers, grandfathers, you do the same. Oh, I'm thankful I'm past that age. I don't know. No, you're not. No, you do the teaching that's necessary. You help and lead them in the right way, and here it is. Lead them in the pathway of righteousness. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want you to be, not for Stan, not for me, not for Dick, not for the elders, anybody, but for you. Arise today and obey the gospel. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, just as the book says. That's following the book of wisdom. And you can have the hope of eternal life. If you'll do as he says, it'll keep you out of trouble and put you in heaven. Won't you come now while we stand, while we sing?